Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who this week was heckled by a dog. It's Richard Herring! Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Hello. Hello there. Hello. Hello. Little accent that was. So welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was hanging around in Gateways in Cheddar. I was buying some family pack of Trios. Remember the old Trios? Remember them, the Trio bar? And I got a pack and they didn't have any biscuit in. It was the best day of my life. And Steve Rowlands, who works at Cheddar Gateways in 1981, he calls it Rehearsal Stomach. So I don't know, don't know if that's going to catch on. So yeah, I was... This week I was heckled by a dog. I was doing the Cheltenham Literary Festival with my... Ooh. They had all people like Nelson Mandela was there probably. They had... It's all people like that. People like Margaret Thatcher was there with her latest book. And I was there with my book of stupid questions. This one doesn't have the first 21 questions because last week I ripped them out to make this into a sort of Banksy work of art. I'm regretting it, I have to say. And... So I had this. So you know, I'm doing this stupid. Everyone else is doing quite worthy things about their terrible lives, and I'm talking about emergency questions. And there were quite a few people came to me. Came to see the show. Thank you if you came to see me in Cheltenham. About 5 minutes into the gig, a dog started barking just outside because it was in a tent. And I said, "Oh, I'm being heckled by a dog. That's quite hard to deal with. It's quite a difficult heckler to deal with, the barking dog." And I shouted, "Your mother's a bitch." So that's what I did. That got the people of Cheltenham on side. They're quite posh, but they saw me do that. They thought, he is a comedy genius after all. And I've been in quite a lot of publicity for the new book, Emergency Questions, available from gofasterstripe.com/EQ or Amazon if you want to help my ranking out. I've been doing some radio shows. It's kind of weird. When I go on the radio shows, like I've been on the Steve Wright show and Radio 2 and Eamon Holmes show on Talk Radio, all the big ones. And every time I go to the producer, be careful, because there's some questions in there that look like they're okay, but they're actually quite rude. So don't tell them not just to read whatever comes out. Both of them, the first question on Steve Wright that he picked out was, "Have you ever sucked a fisherman's friend?" He didn't read the bit where it says lowercase. He managed to stop himself in time. And then they left that. That was pre-recorded, and they left that in. So it's, yeah, have you ever? Oh, that's probably. And then Eamon Holmes, the one he picked out was, "Are you the postman or the letterbox?" Which is, and then honestly had a like probably 5-minute discussion with his sidekick about what clever question it was because of all the different meanings that could have. Really, I can only think of one. One reason. Going, are you the giver or the receiver? Yes, that's. So that's been weird. And this podcast is, of course, sponsored by beer52.com. If you go to beer52.com/RHLSTP, Rahula Stipper, then you can get 8 free craft beers for £2.95 package and posting. I would show you some of them, but for the second time, they haven't turned up this week. So that's not, it's probably not a reflection on the company. It's probably not a reflection on what will happen to you. That probably won't happen to you. But look, you get a magazine. You can have that, Dave, that's yours. I've got the magazine from last week. Look, let's crack on. We've got lots to talk about with our fantastic guests. There are 3 guests in this this podcast. One of them is probably best known as the writer on 2 episodes of Justin's House. Yeah, well, that impresses me. She writes for Waffle. I'm going to mainly talk to her about Waffle the Wonder Dog. One of them is best known as Lieutenant Davis in Brennan Sacrament. And one of them is best known from her appearance, a very fabulous appearance on Pointless Celebrities. And it's no one's... I understand she did it quite well. Didn't ruin it for her husband. Will you please welcome the drunk women solving crime, ladies and gentlemen? Here they come. Welcome. I can't shake your hand. You're so full of beer. Sit down. Welcome. Well, this is about episode 188 of, I can't remember, of this podcast. And so far, I've never had anyone on this stage that I've had sex with. But tonight, all 3. So it's that's 2 of them just before we came on. So it's... How are we doing? It's Hannah, Katie, I believe, and Taylor.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing? Nice to see you. We don't get to talk that much, so this should be fun. So tell us a little bit, Hannah. I'll start with your credits.
Go
first
on.
Of all, Justin's House. That must
yes,
be exciting. You wrote on one episode and wrote a whole episode of Justin's House. Would I remember?
Oh, I wrote 2 episodes. I think IMDb is wrong.
Okay.
Don't be losing my Justin House credits.
So which 2 did you write? Because I have seen most of them.
Justin Goes to the Seaside.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It is a good one, isn't
it? Yeah,
it's seminal. Yeah. And Justin, there's like a king in it or something.
I know that one.
it's really good.
It's Mr. Tumble, Justin Fletcher, Mr. Tumble. Any stories about him that...
No,
we met him,
really.
Didn't we? We met Mr. Tumble, didn't we, Katie?
Yeah.
It was good, wasn't he? We had to wait for half an hour in a corridor to meet him.
He did not want to meet us.
Our daughter met him and she immediately fell over. Come on. Don't try that in front of Mr. Tumble. It's the king. It's just embarrassing to try and do that. She wasn't that impressed. And Taylor, Lieutenant Davis in Brennan Sacrament.
Yes, one of my finest student films. And there are quite a variety. Yeah.
Brennan Sacrament, it sounds very serious.
It took itself very seriously. My favorite part about that role is that I look like I have an undercut, but it's just the hair and makeup team were all students, so they were doing a kind of a shit job working with my fine hair. So, yeah.
And what do you remember about Pointless Celebrities, Katie? How did that work out for you?
Well...
Yeah, but good to get your side of this, because I've talked about it a bit.
I agreed to do it. Katie, blink 3 times if you don't mean that at any time.
I told you I'd be terrible.
You weren't terrible. You were very good. You didn't get a single wrong answer. I mean, you got the highest answer every time. I didn't get a single wrong answer. Should we talk about that for an hour?
Yeah.
Or should we let it go? So, we'll let it go. It's gonna be awkward. They put it in the middle so that there's some protection for both of us, I think. So it should be fine. So, drunk women solving crime.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about what that is.
Oh, me? Really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Who's
okay.
the drunkest?
I mean, yes. These are big wines. When you guys pour the wines, you make them so big. Yeah, we conceived of the idea in a pub, unsurprisingly, and we actually started with the title because Katie had been holding on to this title for ages, and it just had to turn into something.
I was sitting on it.
Yeah. And we were either going to record it in an actual AA meeting or make it a podcast, but they have that whole anonymity thing. So we thought, sit down, make it a podcast. We all had an interest in true crime, and I was a psychotherapist before I went into comedy. So, you know, anything you want to work on.
And I'm a drunk, so that's really helped.
Yeah, it's a three-part format, so we always start with the female guest. It's always a woman. We don't allow the boys. And we always ask the guest if they've ever been the victim of a crime. And as women, it's 100% yes. So we always start with that, and then we deconstruct a true crime case, and we tend to stick with the more historical crimes so we can have a bit of fun around it. And then we end by solving a listener crime. So really, we're touching lives, is what we're doing. We're turning our inebriation into something very useful.
And have you ever successfully solved a listener's crime?
We kind of mostly just take the piss out of them, which I feel kind of terrible. We're like, oh, let us know if you've ever been the victim of a crime.
And I mean, the drunkenness suggests you're not taking it all that seriously. And it's quite enjoyable, especially because you record two at once. It's quite good fun for me listening to the second one of the two.
Oh, my God.
Working out.
You can play this game as you listen along. Guess which is the second episode. And it's what I've done with that is if I'm hosting, because when you host, you kind of like, you know, you come up with the research and you write all the questions out. And I've started printing mine out in like 20-point font so I can actually read it, because it gets to the point a little bit where I'm just like, what on earth is this? But 20-point font is perfect.
Yes, it's hard to read at the best of times, but after a few.
Well, I've got a crime. See if you can solve this one.
Oh,
one. In the about 2002, it would have been, I was at the Edinburgh Fringe and I was sharing a flat with Stuart Lee.
Oh, okay.
Chris Addison, I think Jenny Eclair might have been there, Dan Antopolsky, and Richard Thomas, the opera creator. One night, me and Stu were talking about... I was doing a show called Talking Cock, and he was doing a show called Jerry Springer the Opera, and I was saying how they were both doing quite well, and it was that we'd both broken our own rules, because we always said we'd never do stuff about celebrities or, like, obvious topics for humour, and we'd both broken our own rules, and yet they were both very successful. And Stu was going, being quite angry. He was quite drunk, and everyone else in the house was just behaving normally. In the morning, when we woke up, all the cupboard doors in the kitchen had been smashed in with someone's fist. Never worked out who did it. So Stu, oh yeah, everyone said it wasn't them.
I thought this was going to be the one when... Did he wank you off with the ventriloquist?
Oh, there's that as well.
I was waiting for that.
There's no real mystery to solve there. He's come on, he's admitted to it. I'm going to send the tape to Operation U-Tree. Times have changed. Back in the 80s, you could wank people off with ventriloquist dummies.
Well, better days.
Without their permission. And now you can't. And it's retrospective. It was a loving act at the
time.
Did
this happen the same time as the ventriloquist?
No, that was a long time before. I stuck with him, and people say, but Rich, you know, if you didn't like being wanked off by a ventriloquist, I mean, why did you stay with Stuart all that time? Because that's what happened.
So do you think you ripped off the doors, like, because you remembered that you were back in Edinburgh and you were like, oh, there's a ventriloquist dummy and I want to get off.
It could be me, yeah.
You think it was a traumatic flashback?
Yes, that's what I'm going with.
Mm. Ah, that's not the result I was expecting.
Yeah, I get it. I get on board with that. It's sort of like the sinner. You've blocked out some key points.
I've been victim of crimes quite a lot. So everyone has, haven't they? I had my mobile phone stolen when I had a Hitler moustache. So, and it was stolen by in Shepherd's Bush by a black man on a bicycle. All I saw it was a black man on a bicycle, and I didn't see any. He had a beanie hat on, that's all I saw. And I traced after him, and I was running down the street with my Hitler moustache going, stop that guy! Stop him! Stop him! And no one stopped me. No one stopped him. And then I had to be driven around by the police looking for the guy. And they went like 2 miles away. They drove 2 miles away where they'd located a black man with a bicycle, but he didn't have a beanie hat. But it was close. I mean, it could have They managed to find another black man in Shepherd's Bush, and that was quite some fine police work. So that was quite traumatic. And I was also a victim of a fraud where I was trying to rent a flat with my girlfriend at the time. Sorry.
Oh, are you going to be all right?
It was Sally Phillips, the highly successful comedy actress.
Well, no, there is. Taylor, what do you think?
There's Do you want to just. There's an extra accent back there. Just...
Probably been involved in some crimes involving Julia Sawala as well.
So
this is
Sally
one to watch out, though, because for young renters, we were trying to rent a flat and we didn't have very much money, and this guy showed us this really great flat.
Yeah.
And it was quite cheap, but it was sort of in Tooting Beck. It kind of just about believable, and we said, oh, we'll take it. And I was sort of suspicious of him, but he had an office, he had a phone, you rang him up and the lady answered the phone and put you through to him. So I thought, it's got to be legit. He kept on ringing up saying, what kind of bed would you like? We got the, because we're going to furnish the flat. So it was all like, but he insisted on getting cash. Aww. And I said, can I do a banker's draft? He said, no, that wouldn't work for some reason. and you know, you're, as a renter, you're kind of determined to, you want to prove that you're capable of paying so that, you know.
Sure.
And so in the end, I gave him the money, but I worked, and he had an office and everything. So I was going, well, he's got an office, we'll find him again. It's going to be fine.
Was it like behind a skip or something?
It was a proper bona fide office. You went to reception, they called him down, you rang up, and they go, oh, yes, it's... And it was, in the end, he'd hired an office and someone to answer his phone, and they do that for people legitimately.
Was the person an actor or like a secretary?
No, so it was a business where people can go and pretend they've got an office or just use their office space and use a phone. So two business things. One was a phone thing that they would just forward up to his mobile. And one was...
So the person answering the phone, were they in on it?
No, they're legitimate. It's a legitimate business. So I rang them up and I was very cross with them.
It's a legitimate business to pretend that something is an office.
Yeah, because people might want to make you think they've got an office and they're doing better than they are. So they might not be criminals. They might just be trying to make their business look good.
Right.
They're mostly criminals, though, aren't they?
Mostly criminals.
Like, that smacks of criminal.
Well,
like,
I said to
fake
them...
Fake it till you make
I rang them up. After it was all up, I rang up the thing and said, I can't believe you're allowed to do this. I work at the BBC. I was writing for Weekending. I'm gonna have this investigated. They're going, yeah, go ahead, don't worry, it's all legitimate. And so anyway, I worked out when I tried to do all the bills and stuff that there was something awry because they weren't going over. But I arrived without any of my stuff, expecting not to be able to get in, and about eight other people turned up who'd also rented the flat.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is really terrible. And you know, some of them with their stuff, some of them had, like, there's someone who'd gotten either divorced or he'd lost his job, and this was, and so literally taking about £1,000 off both of us, which was quite a lot of money in 1994, yeah. 3 or 4, whatever it was, and you know, nobody, and off people, the lowest people in the rental chain, no, people who couldn't afford that kind of money.
Yeah.
So I mean, they did me a favour because it meant basically I didn't end up living with Sally Phillips, and I ended up with an amazing wife and two children just 20 years later. So it's if without that, it wouldn't have happened.
But at what point were you suspicious? Because you keep sort of saying, well, I turned up with none of my stuff because I knew this.
Well, I knew once I was going there that it wasn't. I thought, well, it's still a chance, but I've been ringing people up and nobody was understanding what was going on. The guy got caught.
Oh, did they?
Do we know a name? Can we name him?
Yeah, his name is Murray Snedden.
How did they catch him?
And he's an estate agent. And they caught him because he did another one in Chelsea. And so what he was obviously doing was pretending he was an estate agent to the landlords and to the people. And the landlord just happened to be round one of the times he was showing some people round. And he tried to, you know, gazump him. So when the girls were going out, he had to go and put some money in his car. And he said to the girls, oh, I like you. You can, you know, well, let's just cut him out of the deal and you can have the flat. And they said, what do you mean? We've already put down the deposit. It's already been agreed we're doing it. So they realised he was a crook. And so a policeman went along with them the next time they caught him. And we got our money back. He was declared bankrupt.
We all
got our money back just in time, just at the last minute.
Oh, that's a good effort.
Yeah, you really... Oh, you are very lucky. Because usually they won't look into stuff for white men. Really... just historically really fucked over, not to mention right now. I was going to ask, was Sally Phillips kind of skeptical along the way? Because you're saying, like, you got the cash and all of that, and was she like, Rich, I have a bad feeling about this?
No, she wasn't. I had a bad feeling about it all the way through.
You did?
Yeah, because he was like, he had a thing where he had gloves on in the flat, and then he tried to... It was winter, but he tried to take them off. He did a reverse O.J. Simpson, as it would. They're pretty tight, and sort of shook my hand. But because he kept on... I was just thinking, I can't work out how he can have done this, because, you know, how has he managed to do this? I was sort of sceptical, but I thought... But also, this was a great deal, and then, you know, then you're committed to it, and then it's... Yeah, but Sally... I think Sally was working somewhere else, so I was in charge of the whole thing.
Okay.
I had to go and live with her mum and dad for 6 months.
Oh.
And her as well, not just her. Tim Phillips, who... He's very high up in Wimbledon.
Oh,
so,
oh.
It was all right. Yeah, it was quite nice.
Well, that's great. Just the place?
Or? Yeah. He got to the finals of the US Open in the doubles in the 1960s.
In what?
Playing tennis.
No, I know.
He's good. So there's that. But yeah, you've done about 6 or 7 that are out so far as we're recording.
8,
this.
I think.
Is it 8?
Yeah.
Ooh, go us.
Great, yeah, we're so productive.
It's actually, I think it's a really good question. I wish I'd thought to put it in my book of emergency questions available from gofasterstrike.com. Because you had Catherine Ryan on and as the first guest, and you got this amazing story out of her about her blowing up pantyhose.
Inflatophiliacs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's you have to listen to it, because obviously she tells it way better than we do.
She was a victim of a con man as well, but he got her to blow up tights.
For a sexual kink.
It's called inflatophilia, and it's people who
you
are...
You don't need to tell these guys about it.
Yeah. I was going to say, didn't mean to make eye contact with you, sir. But, statistically, there's 3 of you in here, so fill us all in. But yeah, it's people that like blow up dolls or blow up women, as it were. My main memory of that is she's like, yeah, so I got, you know, I figured out this way. She was really kind of ingenious the way she came up with it.
Yeah.
She put bin bags down her tights and then blew them up with a bicycle pump. And I said, well, now you know how I feel in tights. And she's like, yeah, it's like a glimpse of my future.
This was for a guy who was pretending he was a radio DJ she was going to get money for doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a clever woman, Catherine.
But she was like 20 or something.
She was young. She was very young. And the guy had a really convincing DJ voice.
Yeah.
That's really all it takes, guys.
That's all you need, fellas.
That's all it takes.
That's what you want. Don't stop taking notes, David. Stop taking notes. So... the girl from Raised by Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
There's some fantastic stories. We can't talk about them because you listen to the podcast. But
there is a great one coming up where Felicity Montague is. She tells us about how she held a guy up by his throat against a wall. So listen out for that one.
At a kid's ballet class. Just so you know,
it's great.
Yeah, but it's a really good, because everyone probably has been a victim of crime. If that's the thing. So you know, everyone's got a story about it, and I don't think many people talk about it. I have written about that fraud thing, but I haven't really talked very much about that fraud. That because it's so embarrassing and humiliating to be.
Yeah.
We're so upset by it all. I mean, it was really, really, really devastatingly upsetting at the time.
This is the thing that I find really interesting about true crime is there's all this research out there, because they monitor all of us now. They're all watching. But that women are the biggest consumers of true crime, and that actually the numbers of people who are listening to podcasts and watching the documentaries do tend to be women. And there's this theory that it's because we are sort of taught from day one that we're in danger all the time and we're always looking over our shoulders. So it's kind of this perverse, the more we consume it and the more we talk about it and sort of deconstruct these cases, we sort of perversely feel in control, I guess. Do we feel in control? Do we look like we're in control?
But there's like something about coping with trauma and talking about it and exposing it and somehow...
I read somewhere that you're supposed to like learn from it. So when you hear about these true crime things, you kind of think, right, okay, well, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't do that. But because we're doing historical things, it's kind of like, well, I'll be watching out for arsenic an awful lot. I'm not sure how helpful ours is.
Yeah. I stopped drinking strychnine like months ago. Because of the research, and now I'm not going to bust out wads of cash with real estate agents.
Well, I remember walking to to his meeting with the money in your pocket in cash, thinking, "Oh my God, what if I got mugged and stuff?" And I remember giving it to him, saying, "God, it's such a relief to give that to you." And, And so basically I was just given...
somewhere he's telling that story now. Well, you know,
it's basically he'd run up lots, his wife, I think, had run up loads of credit card bills.
You know? Ooh, so they, always a bloody doing, woman, isn't there?
So he's... But, you know, it's so mean to take... At least with the Chelsea one, he was taking it from rich people. But, like, to take it from, like, poor
Leave
people...
Tooting
like,
alone.
People living in Tooting Beck.
Like TV stars Richard Herring and Sally Phillips.
But we weren't. We were nobodies. We were nobodies at the time. So, yeah, it's, you know... How different my life would have been. Imagine that.
Did you have fever? Didn't do you a
favor. How different my life... But, no, I think it is interesting to... You know, I think it's important to... I think if you do talk about this, I'm a little bit, I'm able to laugh at it. So I don't think, you know, there are some serious case in the historical ones. There's often murders involved in them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're taking some quite serious crimes, and because you're drunk, you're not taking them.
And we're terrible people,
you know, in vino veritas and all that. Yeah, I know some Latin. All the rest are sex words, but still.
Well, you've covered some big cases. You do D.B. Cooper in one of them, yeah. Which is which none of you have heard of before, which has amused me. But it's the guy in America who held up a plane.
Yeah.
Former woman in a...
Yeah. Well, we definitely cracked that one.
Yeah, that's
the one I'm the most confident about.
What was nice about that one is nobody actually died, so it felt like there wasn't a huge...
Well, maybe D.B. Cooper died.
Oh, yeah, but...
Or did he, she?
You know, D.B. is the guy who held up a plane and then parachuted out of the plane, basically.
And
then disappeared, and they found like three bundles of money 10 years later.
Yeah, but not all the money.
No.
Yeah.
But it's like, as you kept saying, I didn't know my wife knew so much. Oh, sorry, I didn't know Katie. I don't know. Hopefully one day my wife. There's been a connection here tonight. I hope that's not too presumptuous. You knew a lot about parachuting, and I didn't know you knew anything about parachuting.
You get
in the podcast, you go, no, they would die. They would die if you jumped out. You can't jump out of a plane.
No, I knew that you had to be, if you're low enough and it's not pressurized, then you can do it.
Well, that's knowing a lot about parachuting. I didn't know you knew anything about parachuting.
That's quite basic. That's parachuting 101.
Are you going off parachuting with? Is that where you go at the weekend?
Yeah.
With your fancy man.
Yeah, when you're out working, I leave the kids with my mum.
Do you want to do this, Rich? Do you really want to do this? She is fucking a paragraph.
That's right. Just look at your notes.
I enjoyed
the answers are all in there. Katie is, no, can I just say, because this is what I love, because her detective skills have just, they've just grown and grown. And Katie is amazing because you are just full of facts like that. Like, we never know what she's going to know about.
And who is she fucking? Is that like, you know so much, genuinely.
You do, and we've named it Katie's Anus Library because it's just full of facts and she's just pulling them out.
I'm pulling them out of my ass.
Time. I'm sure you've rooted library, around in there. As it were. There's a Latin word for that.
I was listening to the D.B. Cooper one on the train down. We came down earlier on the train and then we split up at King's Cross so people wouldn't be suspicious. But we bumped into Ian Boldsworth at the time.
Yeah.
So it was weird. And he caught us. But the D.B. Cooper one was on and you're all going, why are there four parachutes? Why are there four parachutes? And I said it's because he wanted to give the impression that he was going to take one of the hostages with him.
Yes.
So that they wouldn't just give him a parachute that didn't work. So that was the...
Exactly, but
so
that's the logic.
You can sort of join in with it. And
there's other things as well, like I realised with that story, is that he was wearing a clip-on tie, which we were just like, that's so fucking lame. But it turns out, I told it to my boyfriend, and I was like, oh, and this guy was wearing a clip-on tie. And he was like, yeah, that's what like bouncers wear, so if somebody grabs them by the tie, it would just come off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we were just like, this guy's lame! But that was very sensible.
That's really... See, we're growing and growing as detectives every day.
I do think it is a fun thing that you could listen... When we're trying to, quote-unquote, solve it, I do think it's something you could be like, oh, I know the answer to that. Oh, no, I reckon it's this. And you can sort of join in at home. But also, even when I listen to them back, because we have to check them for editing and stuff... And
I don't do that.
But then I'll listen...
Unless there's stuff about Prince Andrew, then I do.
that's getting cut. But so, like, I'll listen to them back and be like, oh, I wish I'd said that, or I've just had a much better thought. So it is like that thing of like, oh, I found the perfect thing to say in the argument 2 hours later, but with a podcast.
Never listen back. Spirit de l'escalier, that's called.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Spirit of the staircase is what you think on the way back. Don't listen back to them. I don't remember anything. I can't remember what's just happened in this one. So that's, I don't even listen as it's happening. Especially to what I'm saying, which is why it comes out like this. But it must be weird starting in podcasting when one of you is married to the greatest podcaster in the world. That's what I was thinking. It must have been quite...
I am married to Adam Buxton, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Cheer that, you're going to be on my side. Did you feel intimidated about entering the same area as...
Just inspired.
Oh, good. Did you look and go, if he can do it, anyone can do it? Well, I'm going to start writing children's books, so stick that up your...
You've been threatening that for ages, and I said it was a great idea.
You should do a kids' emergency questions book.
Yeah, well, there are some kids' emergency questions in the emergency questions book that you can...
Do you have to be really careful you don't ask them something terrible?
Yeah, don't swap them. Are your nipples sensitive? Oh, sorry.
That's all right, you could ask a kid that.
That's true.
You should not ask.
You can probably only your own kid, yeah.
And only if they've got a rash.
Here's a question for kids. Have you ever grown cress? That was a question there. Good question.
It's a good kid question.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
Have you ever grown... Sorry, have you ever grown impressed?
Cress.
Like watercress?
Well, yeah. Watercress, but on the land.
No, they... No, don't Americans call it watercress? What's American cress?
Watercress.
Watercress is... Watercress is a very different thing. They're both cruciferous vegetables. Here's a question for kids. What's the highest thing you've ever fallen off?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My ego.
Oh!
So, yeah. No, it's... Well, let's talk about your kids' books, because, you know, I get some of the money from that, indirectly. They do very well.
They're doing all right, yeah.
When we were on Celebrity Pointless, Pointless Celebrities,
yeah,
they got to talk about the books and you didn't say what any of them were called.
I was such a dick.
That was your one chance. That could have been it.
I know. I was like a rabbit in headlights, very much like tonight. And, yeah,
I'm kind of hoping there'll be, you know, sort of, I'll take a third of J.K. Rowling. That's what I'm hoping for you.
Uh-huh.
And then I can just, you know, sit back.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to do.
Well,
about the books. Say what they're called, Katie, because that's what you failed to do.
That is like the toppest tip to celebrate.
All the things that happened that day on Pointless. I'm not sure this is
I was,
the biggest.
I think they edited me out. I just went on like 2 minutes going, well, they're kind of like a thing, and they asked me to write this thing, and so I wrote it, and then I changed the thing. And it was like, we can't use any of that, you fucking bell end. But yeah, so the first one is called My Best Friend and Other Enemies.
Yay.
Yeah, it's good.
I've read it as well, and it's brilliant. It's very, very
Thank
good.
Thank you. I haven't yet because you didn't loan me a copy yet. So.
Oh, okay.
You bring that over next.
I can fix that.
We can talk about this later.
Yeah, and it's that's why my pitch is tail off. It's for 8 to 12 year olds. It's a funny book. It's about an 11-year-old character that likes drawing cartoons. And she gets bullied and she uses comedy and cartoons to stop being bullied. It's not autobiographical.
Katie was very much the bully in her school.
They're very good. And there's some new ones coming out as well with the different characters. And yeah. You're lucky. I'm lucky as well, because on that, so I genuinely nearly cried on that Pointless Celebrities and they cut that bit out. he came to me, asked me, I knew, I just thought we were going to get knocked out in the first round again.
Well, I got the first. And I then got you 95 get asked.
You get both.
My so first.
I've cried. I cried on it before. My voice cracked before. So the second time I was on it, my voice cracked as I thought we were going to get knocked out. And on this one again, he went, "What's your answer?" And then he went, "Oh no, we have to ask you about what you've been." That's this awful thing where they ask you on the first question. So he's asked about me. He said, "Yeah, I'm on tour with my Joe the Best." And then it wasn't even put out for about a year, so they didn't even publicity for the best. And yeah, and it's yeah. They've cut. But I can see the point they cut it just before I started crying. So you know, we got through though. We nearly got through.
Well, because someone said I thought I was playing Family Fortunes.
Yeah. If you were, you were brilliant. You were the best.
I got the wrong brief.
They were hard questions, man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Oh, this is a question I want to ask all of you. Do you think it is okay? Do you think it's cheating if a man has sex with a robot? Because I don't think it is.
I'm going to let you guys take this first so it doesn't look like I'm a minority view.
If your partner had sex with a robot, it's not a person, it's just like, you know, wanking into a tube.
I mean, he's in, really. Yeah. What did you fancy?
He definitely would. I know him, and he definitely would like to do it if the technology was good.
What? I would. No, I don't. I think it's fine.
Yeah, see, it's fine.
I think it's all right.
See, it's fine.
Saves me a job, doesn't it? It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Saves you a job.
I think it's fine. I kind of. Yeah, I would welcome that. I'm married to a Welsh guy. I feel like he'd pick up a few things.
Katie, do you think it's okay if a man had sex
with a robot?
Yeah, it wouldn't be cheating on his partner, right? So it would be fine. There's like, nothing in the marriage vows about it, right?
What level of robot are we talking?
Like, it looks exactly like Gemma Chan to the final, to every final detail. But it's a robot.
I mean, it sort of is cheating.
Okay. What if it's a robot of you?
Ooh.
And I'm just using it when you're away.
He might let you go away more. Like, yeah. You know, like, look after the kids more. Like, yeah.
And perfect. What if it's a robot of you from 12 years ago?
The judgment from your own audience.
Wow. Fucking outrage.
You've really upset these people. They really feel for me right now.
They do us.
What about like a robot of you, but back when you were on the telly?
Yeah.
This is why we made Hannah sit there. We're like, you go first.
I feel like Paxman or something. Does he ask questions then, doesn't he? Doesn't,
no, it's not nice.
It's not a bit of an arsehole.
She's got those millennial balls. That's why we like her.
I'll ask you, I've got a new emergency question, for especially for producer Ben. Have you ever met Prince Andrew?
He can't use any of this. Don't answer.
I can, as long as you can. If you answer the question honestly, you can use it. Have you ever met Prince Andrew or any of the royals?
Only in my dreams.
Nightmares.
I haven't. I met a royal once who they opened an asthma clinic on the Isle of Wight.
Oh yeah.
And I refused to curtsy because I thought it was too girly.
Which one was it?
Oh God, the Duchess of something.
Right.
You know her. What, she's
did,
lovely.
Did you bow instead?
I think I bowed.
You like take that patriarchy.
Yeah. I do think I bowed, which sort of is just as
good
bad
for
really,
you.
But...
What age were you?
I was in primary school, so I was nine.
Hmm.
Nine or something? Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't really. I mean, it was an asthma clinic, and now I have really bad asthma, so yeah. It did fuck all for me.
Have you ever met Prince Andrew, Katie?
I've not met Prince Andrew.
You met Princess Anne?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wait, did you have a
threesome?
What is this? It feels weird.
I'm kind of just pretending that this whole thing was his wedding speech.
This is better than my
what
wedding
What a night.
Speech. My wedding speech was terrible. I wanted to talk to you about the Isle of Wight.
Come on, give me six.
Am I right?
So I've been there. We went and did a gig there. But you grew up on the Isle of Wight.
I did, yes.
Which weirdly, I wrote for a Encyclopedia of the Royal Family in 1992. The Macmillan. It just came out just as the Royal Family imploded. So no one, they couldn't really sell it because it was all wrong by the time it came out. I had to write the entry for the Isle of Wight.
Oh wow! Because of Queen Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know yeah. all about it, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
What's it like growing up on the Isle of Wight?
It's all right. It's nice. It's a bit weird, but it's, you know.
What's the weirdest thing about the Isle of Wight? It seemed all quite weird to me. I mean, it's not like the Isle of Man. Not that bad.
No.
But it's still, you know, it's not that far from the mainland, but it feels like it's...
Yeah, it's just a boat ride. It is quite nice.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you know.
It's like people have, maybe on the mainland, have evolved a bit further than the people... You'd think that's a short distance of water wouldn't make that much difference, but that's... Turns out Charles Darwin didn't have to go all that way to find them to prove.
It is. It like, looks like the 1950s, and a lot of the views are like the 1950s.
Yeah.
But I like the Isle. It's nice.
Do you still live there?
No, I don't. I live in London now.
Oh, do you? Okay. But you you go back there quite a lot.
I do. I go back to visit. Yeah. Got a lot of friends there.
You keep tweeting things
you
like...
You said that like an accusation. You go back to
Well, I thought she still lived there. You lived there for quite a while, then.
I did,
for a long time.
I grew up there, and then I went back after uni, and then I moved to London a couple of years ago.
Well, this makes sense. It makes, you know... You don't get to write for Waffle the Wonder Dog if you live on the Isle of Wight.
Hell no.
You're going to move to where the action is. You tweet quite a lot of things from the papers in the Isle of Wight.
I do, yeah.
There was something you tweeted today about...
Oh, yes, yeah, there was an axe. There was, like, an armed robbery in my hometown of Ventnor, which is just, like... I mean, that never really happens in Ventnor. And there was just this blow-by-blow account from the guy from the pet shop who the guy with the axe had come in to attack. And in the article, like, the guy was saying, my wife was almost behind the till, but she had to go to the toilet. Okay, thank you. And then he goes on to say about how he, like... He said, I grabbed the man's arm, and his hand turned blue. I don't know how quickly this happened. And then he said after 20 minutes of this scuffle he'd had with this guy with the axe, I managed to get the axe. And then he called his mate in, who's 16 stone, and he sat on his legs. And they called the police. His wife, who had finished shitting, called the police. And the police like took 30 minutes to turn up because it's the Isle of Wight, and also because on the way the car broke down. Like, the police car, apparently you got a puncher on the way, so they sent another one, like the second police car on the Isle of Wight. And then apparently people could see them outside the pet shop, and one police officer was helping the other one back into a parallel parking spot. And this guy in this article was like, I had words with him. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were doing.
It was trying to rob a pet shop.
Yeah, because he tried to rob the post office. But the post office have shutters, you know, they press the button, which they'd always wanted to press, I imagine.
Yeah.
And it went, whoosh, and so he just...
Went next door.
And apparently he'd been in Hurst's before, which is the local kind of like ironmongery shop or whatever, because we have one. And he'd bought the axe there. So he'd gone axe. Then he'd come into the post office, and then he went to the pet shop, which must like have a turnover of about like 100 quid a day or something in cash. I was like, yeah, and then they got sat on by the fat bloke.
Sounds brilliant.
It's a lot of fun.
I had a lovely time when we came and did a gig there, and it was lovely.
Yes, yeah, I remember that, because you were doing Hitler Moustache, and then there's a lot of like kind of...
I was very welcome on the high spot. I've never been well... I remember they call it the Isle of Wight for nothing, am I right?
There's a guy in the pub that we did that gig. There's a guy who he has an eye patch and he always sits underneath the dartboard. It's lovely. Beautiful little Isle of Wight moment.
And Taylor, you come from America.
I do.
Is that like the Isle of Wight? Have you been to the Isle of Wight?
In many, many places. I haven't, actually. No. Never
you
been
must
invited.
Visit. You must visit. Queen Victoria had a house there.
I mean, what to say about Americans? They're universally loved. We're up there with, like, fracking right now.
But you've moved here. You've escaped.
I have escaped.
Yeah, although I think this is just going to become a vassal state.
Yes.
Don't you? I think that's the way we're heading.
I'm disappointed that there's collapse in both of my points of reference. I take it personally.
It's not your fault.
Okay. I blame myself for a lot of things. Can I just throw something in?
Yeah, please do.
Just because it applies to our podcast. Did you guys read that they're saying that climate change is going to have it like a huge knock-on effect in the beer industry? Because the barley fields are going to die out. Well, because it's like climate change just got personal. You know, there was the flooding before and the rising sea levels, but now it's like beer.
Now it affects everybody.
It affects everyone.
Yeah, is there anything we can do?
There's nothing we can do.
Oh, fuck it.
Because President Trump says it's probably just the scientists that have an ulterior motive or something. He said they have an agenda. Of sort of telling facts.
And, oh, man.
And that's their agenda.
And that disrupts his own agenda of burning coal. As much coal as he could. Never mind, it'd be fine. And what what brought you to the United Kingdom? Was it comedy or was it love?
Neither.
Okay.
Actually, I was a psychotherapist in New York, and I used to do improv and sketch comedy at night. So I was like a really boring superhero. I helped people during the day, and then I bored the shit out of people at night. I specialized in trauma, and I worked with a lot of people who had been affected and down at the site. 9/11. I can't even say the words. I'm like 9/11. It was a big deal, guys. I don't know if you watched it here, but it's like a lot of smoke and shit. So I just needed a break. I'd gone straight through school, and I sort of needed a break from a very serious job. And I think I always wanted to do stuff like this, guys. I moved over here, and then I met that Welsh guy that I said needed some robot help, and we've been together for 12. Mechanical years.
And did you all meet on?
Because
I met you on doing stand up. Have you done stand up as well? Or are you doing sort of more improv?
Yes, obviously not very well known. I used to rock towns like Barnacle, which is a landlocked village outside of Coventry. I don't want to brag, but I signed some autographs in Serbia. You know, I played the Eastern European circuit, and they're not easy to please.
But so, both you guys have stopped doing stand-up, at least temporarily.
Yes.
Me and Hannah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I met you. I thought you were really good when I first saw you.
But now I need a robot to replace me.
I like you. I thought you were really good. I like you so much. I thought I were going to marry that woman. I thought that's what I would do.
Cool. So I did.
You were really good. I would have married you. Your stand-up is really...
Ditto. Oh.
Sorry,
you weren't quite good enough to marry.
Oh. Okay.
But do you think you... I mean, it's why have you both chosen to go into different areas of...
feel like I've paused more than I've stopped. It's harder to fit in. Well, what with the kids... And also...
You've got kids?
Their dad is Swiss, and he's so great. and just, like, writing started to get...
I love that was a callback to the green room. We're like, yeah! You have no idea, but it was great. It was amazing.
He's great with a parachute. And... No, just writing started to pay more, and it was harder to, like, I was only ever semi-professional stand-up, and I slightly fell out of love with it. But actually, I think
I thought that was going somewhere else for a second. thought, what a fucking time to tell me.
We really want people to listen to our podcast, so we thought, let's make this a doozy.
You get the scoop, you lose the marriage.
Wow. I've had a good knock.
I think that actually my confidence fluctuates too much to make me a consistently good
I can't
performer.
Imagine why.
But I've got the itch, I've got the urge a bit more. I'm doing Taylor's gig actually in November.
Yes, she is.
I keep writing stuff, but I just don't perform.
And do you think, because like, it's interesting.
You're a stay-at-home comedian, and there's nothing wrong with that. Not a big enough
But it's
deal
interesting because, like, podcasting's, you know, it's a great way to, like, there's quite a few people have broken through through podcasting much quicker than you would through stand-up. And people who, so, like, we had the All Killer No Filler girls on, and they're sort of playing all over the world, and obviously the porno girls and boys are like huge, so it's at, you're sort of bypassing all that. Like, stand-up's now so difficult to get noticed.
Well, I think Kiri's been gigging like 10-12 years or something, hasn't she?
She Kiri. Has, but this is the well, what's broken is the podcasting, and similarly, like this podcast is, that you're doing has immediately got people talking. So it's kind of interesting that you can control the medium.
Yeah.
Which maybe, I don't know, do you think it's hard? Was it harder because you were women to get through into stand-up, or was it just harder because of what your interests were and what you...
I don't, like, we haven't got to Hannah's reasons.
I just got a bit terrified of it, I think. And I thought, like, let's do a podcast. I'll do a podcast with my friends. This is perfect. All we have to do is sit in Taylor's spare room and chat about true crime, and we never have to be in front of an audience.
Except we're doing some live shows. But
we are doing some live shows. It's kind of all taken off, which is really nice, because obviously I did like being in front of an audience when I was doing stand-up for... I did it for lots of years, and we did Edinburgh together, and, you know. And it was lovely. But for me, it was just the nerves. It was just the terror that sort of made me stop.
And no offense, but it's really nice to work with all women. Yeah. It really is, because I just, the thing that I don't miss about doing stand-up full-time is just the, oh, fuck, I'm going to try to say a word that I can't even say sober. Gladiatorial. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had something to prove, so I would do, like, weekends at the Glee Club, and like, ugh, and the Glee, you know, is like one of the nicer chain clubs, and I just felt like I had something to prove, but it was always this combative sort of humor that just gave me, I mean, literally I had IBS the entire time I was doing it. It's like, are they okay, body? Give me some signals that maybe this isn't the right thing for me. Oh, that. if you're going to be so obvious about it. So there's something really, really great about working with all women, which rarely happens in stand-up, certainly not on a panel show or anything like that, where I feel like we don't have any sense of that. Like, there's nothing about one-upping each other or...
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to suggest that that's an all-male thing. Except it is.
You know, they're filming this as well.
I don't watch it back, though, so whatever you did there to the camera that I didn't see...
But it is like, podcasting is nice. It does feel a bit safer because you're just, you know, you're just at home and it's us lot. And what's nice about like recording at Taylor's house is, you know, we just sort of, I don't know, we just get drunk together and have snacks and see your brilliant daughter. And it's actually really kind of like quite a homely feel. It's really,
it is.
And then we talk about people who have been slaughtered by their husbands. But the point is it's really, it's nice. And yeah, for me, stand-up was just became too terrifying. And I moved back to the Isle of Wight. And the Isle of Wight comedy scene is me. Which is a terrible scene. So, yeah, so that's mine.
I am
practical.
Still sad that you give up.
Aww.
I respect your reasons, though.
Thanks, man.
I think you should all be doing it all the time. But I just think that's very exciting that the podcasting gives you that. You know, and again, I was saying backstage, but when we had the porno guys on, I did a panel up in Edinburgh with James from the podcast, and like no one would have taken that, no TV company or anyone would have touched that because it's a rude name. It's what the hell? It's just some people talking around a table about some weird thing that their dad's written. Nobody would have touched it, and now you know, they can do whatever they want because they're now fated in the industry and everyone loves them and everyone wants them because they're such a success. So that's really exciting. And that's, you know, they filled the Albert Hall in like a couple of years, you know, and tour the world.
So 2 years' time, we'll be there, guys.
But I think that's very exciting. I think that, you know, it's really interesting that you can buy, you know, I liked podcasting because you could bypass those gatekeepers that weren't interested in me.
Yeah.
But then you can bypass the gatekeepers who, you know, might not be giving women a fair chance or might not be giving this.
No, it's true. It's great. It's great because nobody is telling us no. And that's what we really like. We can just literally, we'll just do it then. And that's what's brilliant about podcasting, and we just get to do our own thing, and I love that. That's what, having been a writer for like the last 8 years, you get a lot of no's, and it's just constant no's, and like, so this is nice because we've sort of like commissioned ourselves for no money sitting in Taylor's, but it's great, rogue. It's fun.
But it feels, I think I also feel that there feels like sort of sea change within podcasting, that things are changing, and that you with Acast, who do have run adverts. I got one in French today.
Ooh, did you?
Yeah.
Ooh, and they do targeted marketing. Yeah. So.
I don't know what it was for because I don't speak French. So they targeted quite badly. Yes. And I was sitting in Welland North train station, so I don't think that's in France.
Is it sometimes on the Isle of Wight we get French signals? Yeah, we get like French radio stations. And unless somebody is going to the swimming pool, I do not know what they're talking about.
Well, if there's a monkey in a tree, it's fine.
Whenever I listen to the targeted ads, I get it for the army adverts. And I'm like, stop telling me to pick a third career. I get it. It's coming.
That's bad if it's on your own podcast and they're saying, get another job. Get a job where you will be killed, please.
Message received.
But that's interesting. I think people are realizing, and sponsors are realizing, that it's, you've got this very loyal audience and people are very engaged, I think, with podcasting. So I think in the next 2 or 3 years, I think it might become too big and it might become unwieldy. You're with Acast, who are doing lots of the big podcasts. How did you get with them? Because, you know, I'm just doing this on my own.
Well, our producer, Amanda, who is in the audience. Hello, Amanda. I don't know where you are. But yeah, it was she's comes from like 20 years experience in radio. So she had the contact there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think they're quite open to new people and new ideas. And they seem great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think then there's much more, you know, more interesting formats coming out rather than just two comedians talking to each other, which is so terrible.
Oh, mate.
Two male comedians talking about their cocks to each other. Who wants that?
Well, because we are formatted.
Yeah.
I think that I vaguely remember in the meeting they were pleased that we were formatted. I don't know why I remember that.
Mm.
There's a lot more podcasts that are people talking to each other.
Yeah.
With that. And less podcasts that are formatted.
But then it feels a bit like we're just getting to a stage where podcasting are like radio shows and you still have to go through all of the commissioning process again. That seems the negative side of it, that it's then just again going to be a new gatekeeper saying, you know, I mean, you can still be able to do podcasts, but it feels like they're getting more and more professional.
Well, that's the worry, isn't it? That the regulation comes next. And we've had debates about that just with not just libel, but sort of what cases can we talk about? And if we're talking about a case in a different country, do we follow their statute of limitations or do we have to?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? And then we just get drunk and we don't find out the answer. So we just...
If you talk about Prince Andrew,
Manana.
It just always... It's the minute I've tried to talk about Prince Andrew, just it ends. Don't know who's doing it. I'm trying to get the truth about him out there, and no one will listen. He controls all of this. He's the head of Acast. And got it by... So, it's... I'll ask you an emergency question. That was a nice, easy edit for you, Ben. A really good one came up that I don't know if I can remember off by heart. I'll try and remember off by heart. Would you rather have a it's right here. Would you rather have a fold out table that grew out of your rib cage and which could be put up and down in mere seconds? Ooh. Or a stretchy back skin which could be pulled over your head to act as a makeshift bivouac?
Shift what?
Bivouac.
What's like a bivouac?
It's like a tent.
I knew that, Katie, definitely, immediately, when he said bivouac.
Yeah.
I've thought about this a lot.
Okay. I could see you were keen to answer.
Over the years. Do you know what popped into my head, which feels, oh my God, I can't believe I'm about to tell this story.
Do it.
Okay. It's on brand because it's the drunkest I can ever remember being. So I would choose the table. It would pull down because I remember going home after a night out in New York, whatever. And and I lived in this apartment in Brooklyn, and we had no food in the house, but I was starving. So the only thing I had in the fridge was a jar of matzo balls, a Jewish delicacy. I didn't heat them up. I just took them out of the jar, and I remember just eating them, lying down, watching a film, and one of the balls rolled down. I was naked. I forgot to tell you that.
I was already imagining you naked. That's what I mean.
It just fits, doesn't it? It's like you get naked and you eat some kosher food. It's what it's all about. So the ball rolled down into my navel, and I just had this moment where I'm like, okay, there's a cold matzo ball in my belly button. And I just went out of my body. I'm like, am I telling this story to a bunch of people? I've got to finish now. So I just rolled it back up my body. And I remember it took like a detour around my boobs because it does, you know? It just sort of veered over the left one, which is slightly larger. And then I got it all the way up and I put the whole thing in my mouth and I chewed. And that is the only moment that I thought, you know, I might have a drinking problem. but I still don't think that I do. And so, yeah, table in the ribs is what I'm saying.
Table would be good, wouldn't it? Because that would have just...
You never imagined there was going to be an anecdote.
I didn't.
Oh, that's amazing.
These questions are very good for opening people up in this way. Literally, yeah. If you've got the table.
Now I kind of wish I could pull skin over my face, though. Hey, Mom.
It's a good question. Any strong feeling, Hannah, about that one?
I don't know, I'm always getting caught in rain. Yeah. So I'd go, that's quite a sort of like jovial answer after. You know, sometimes I go out and it rains, maybe I'll have the tent.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's a way of finding out whether you're outdoorsy or indoorsy. It's like, are you a social person who goes to lots of parties? I mean, it'd be great at parties. That's why, you know, you've got like just your drink there, your nibbles there. Just, yeah.
Oh, maybe some gefilte fish. It depends.
Yeah. But, you know, the bivouac's useful if you're, you know, camping and stuff. If you're quite poor and want to stay out in the rain. If you're going round, I'll talk about that in the next podcast. My stone clearing. It would be useful for me. I could just get, you know, when it starts to rain, I could just create a bivouac over myself until it stops.
But could you put the stones on the desk if you... Be on the table. That might be useful.
Well, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Them, lift them up and put them on there.
Oh, yeah.
If I had a bivouac, I could. If it was raining, I could clear the stones.
Yeah.
Some people think like when it's raining, I'll do it now. Some people think when it's raining, that must be saying. You know, a lot of people said to me, "You're crazy stone clearing. That's a crazy thing to do, because what when it rains, you're going to not do it, are you? But actually, when it rains, best time to go.
Yeah.
Because you can really get the stones that are lodged in kind of,
they come to the surface.
Well, they come up a bit. They
sure.
do come up like the rain
you
nurtures
know what?
Them.
Congratulations,
and,
Katie.
It's also, not hurting anyone. It keeps
done.
Them away from the robots.
So, you can get them. You can get the big ones out really easily.
Oh,
I mean, you get your hands dirty, but you know that comes with the territory when you're a stone clear. I've got a good life in the country. It's a nice.
Wait,
it's the same as fishing. It's just exactly the same as fishing. No one thinks people who go fishing are insane. Then they chuck the fish back in. At least I'm taking the stones out. I've started when I get a really big one. I've started thinking, should I take a selfie with it? And I'm going to.
I choose table.
Yeah, good. Why? Don't have to have a reason.
Because I can put my bag on it and look for stuff in my bag.
Knees?
No.
Oh, when you're standing up, I suppose, yeah.
Standing up.
Wait, is there a weight limit on the table?
Ooh.
I mean, yes.
I don't feel
because,
like you've
you know, there's
actually
a weight limit on everything,
the
isn't
book.
There? Well, that's why it's good to ask these extra questions. I think you could get, you know, you could probably put your bag on there, though you do overpack. So.
That's why I can't.
You know, what you could do is not pack so much stuff in your bag and then You wouldn't need to put it on the table. You'd be able to find everything in the bag.
Oh, it's starting. It's starting.
You look at me like I'm crazy for moving stones off a field. What about taking a bit too much stuff out with you?
Well, this sounds like a conversation for robot lady. Then I don't have to listen anymore.
Such a great get out of talking to him. So good. Your robot wife will take this one. Thank you.
Okay, I'll ask you. Oh, this. Well, let's see. This is quite a boy thing, maybe. Were you ever in a fan? No, it isn't. This, were you ever in a fan club?
I think you say fight.
No.
Yeah.
Were you ever in a fan club?
I don't think I was. They used to cost money when I was a kid.
I was in the Dennis and Nasher fan club.
Yeah.
Represent. Come on, we got any members in? It was shitty, wasn't it? You spent like £2 and they gave you a badge. Fuck Dennis and Nasher.
Yeah. I was in the Sabutier fan club and it was the same deal. It was a little green card and a little gold badge.
Yeah.
I think that was it. I don't think you even got like a player or anything. Could have given you a linesman or something, couldn't they, just to get you going? I used to play Sabutier against myself a lot as well.
Oh, well, it's a theme, isn't it? Yeah.
I was in the New Kids on the Block fan club.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah, but I joined it just because there was a group at school and they were, you know, they were the cool kids. So I joined it just to fit in with them. But wow. Secretly, I was listening to Talking Heads. And I remember my friend like caught me listening to them and they're like, what is this shit? This is so terrible. And that is all you need to know about where I grew up.
Did you see the New Kids on the Block on Strictly Come Dancing this week?
No.
They're back.
Was it Backstreet Boys?
Oh, yeah, same thing. Isn't it?
Oh, sorry.
I thought I took a chance.
Sorry.
All of them at once?
The Backstreet knows who is the Backstreet Boys. The Backstreet Boys, there was always one in the Backstreet Boys that looked like all the others' dads. And he really does now.
He does. Oh.
I mean, but some of them look like his granddad now. Strictly Come Dancing, eh?
Hanson turned out well, though, right?
Hanson?
Yeah.
Sorry, just my trigger word. I fucking love Hanson. They have a beer called Hop. Genuinely, wow. I want to be sponsored by them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're listening, Isaac, Taylor, or Zachary,
right.
Do please sponsor us and marry me.
All of them?
Yeah.
Any of them? Yeah. Sorry. They're probably Mormons.
I think they are.
I think they actually are. Yeah. And you're we in. Will oh, be
does
sorry.
That mean they can marry lots of women? Right? Yeah, so that's
I think so. Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
Like, that works out for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just great it's music, guys.
I put one of Greg Davis's questions on your page.
Oh, ask it.
You were heckled by someone saying, "Will you have my babies?" Well, not very good, is it, when I ask you? Because you weren't. That's why it's important to write the thing.
If it helps, I will. I haven't had children yet.
Will you have my babies?
Hannah's up for it.
It's sort of like a surrogate thing in your case. Will you have my babies? I'm unable to have them myself. Will you be a surrogate mother for me? Yeah, sure.
But it's still the same if a guy shouts it, right? Because it's still their baby.
My babies. Okay, yeah, all right.
Just saying, there's responsibilities for the man, is what I'm saying.
Tell me about it. you're doing the live shows. You might, by the time this goes out, you might have done one of them, but you're doing them at the Pleasance, are you?
Yes, in Islington. London? Yeah, not the Scotland one.
We are, yeah. Pleasance Islington on November 1st, and our guests are Jenny Eclair.
Yes.
And
Olivia Lee.
And this is why there's three of us, so we can, like,
in case.
Just talk. And then we have another one on December 6th, and it's Susie Ruffle and London Hughes.
Yes.
Who every
London's
day...
London's already been on, and it's hilarious.
Back by popular demand.
Yeah, yes. every day we get a tweet that says, can London Hughes be on every week? No, because we can't afford her.
She's very good.
She is.
Yeah, so please come. Everyone, please come. That's the point as well.
That is the point. If you live outside of London... Well, come anyway, just come over to London. There are planes. Someone came from Austin, Texas to see this the other week.
Really?
What?
Well, probably not really, no. But they came from Austin, Texas.
Austin's very cool.
Is that nice? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Its motto is keep Austin weird. Mm. I don't know why I licked my lips after. Keep Austin weird.
Oh. Well, time has flown by. I'm just checking what happened. Is there anything important?
Has it though?
Yes.
Has it?
We've had a lovely time. I've stayed sober. You guys have been drinking, you know, because you are the drunk women.
We're on brand.
We have. Yeah. And I know you're gonna be tempted to leave on the interval, but stick around for Greg Davis. Great up and coming. He doesn't have the credits that we do, but here he's going
to
be good.
I didn't get a chance to ask about frozen peas or being pushed into a lake by your partner, but that will come another time. I have a compunction.
Is that
time
both
I'm,
your honeymoon?
Every time I'm out walking with my wife, and when she was my girlfriend as well, and we are going past a body of water, I always want to push her in. You don't get stuff like that?
What, like with Katie? I mean, yeah. Yes. I kind of want her a lot. Just got one of those faces.
Just because it would be funny, but then also she'd be so angry with me the rest of the day out. And we'd have to go home. It would ruin the day.
Yeah.
And really, she's got a temper on, as you know, and yeah. it'd be awful. I'd have a terrible, terrible week.
Yeah, a month
but
maybe.
Still, I really want to do it. And one day I shall. And it will be a future case for drunk women solving crime with London Hughes taking the place of the drowned K2.
Wow, this is taking a turn.
Oh, Rich. I think she's angry with you anyway. No water needed.
Well, it's been lovely for you to come on. Thank you very much. It's a fantastic podcast. Do listen to it and go and see them live. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Drunk Women Solving Crime! You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, The Drunk Women Solving Crime. The music is by Pest. Thank you very much to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, everyone at British Comedy Guide, and everyone at Go Faster Stripe. I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. The executive producer for this show is Adil Sutaria. Thank you very much for all your hard work on getting this show together. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.